We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
First of all, greetings from Pastor Rick Godwin. We were together in Virginia Beach for our leadership summits, and he is excited to be with us, say, next Sunday. Rick and Cindy Godwin are absolutely amazing people. They're advisory pastors in my life. How many know you need to have somebody to submit to? You shouldn't be the end-all, be-all in your worlds. I believe pastors need pastors. And so I would just tell you, you do not want to miss next week. We're actually also going to be doing a Saturday morning thing. So if you are somebody that is like, hey, I want to get in on it, just be ready. Get the email this week and you're going to get all the information. It's going to be great. Say, it's going to be great. Tell your neighbor like you mean it. Someone was like, what do I tell them? You were up at 3:45 too. Today, I want to talk to you. Last week, we talked about why church. It was a very strong and poignant message about the need to gather. How many understand the Apostle Paul said, do not neglect the gathering together of the saints? How many know that God's word is without error? It is inerrant, right? So what that means is that you guys, all that are here, you guys that are watching online and connecting, I'm so glad you're with us, but I'm just trying to help you understand the importance of gathering. And I understand I'm preaching to the choir. Look at everybody here. I get that. If you're at home, I know you're getting this, but there's something about being in the house. There really is something about being in the house, and I just want to encourage you. We continue to believe God is bigger than everything else. We continue to be a church that moves forward in faith. And so I just want to encourage you, whether you come in mask or no mask, whether you come and you want to sit a little bit further away, we just want you to come. How many understand that God is a loving God? Right? He is. And so I just want to make sure that as the church continues to move forward and grow, that we're all making space for everybody. Okay? And so I was talking about why church, but we're going to do a little pause because I wanted to talk a little bit more about what it's like to be the church before we go into what will inevitably be a message called which church. But today we're going to be talking about getting our shine on. All right? And so let's read this scripture together. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine before men and women and all people, right? Let your light shine. How many understand that God wants to use you to affect your world? He wants to use you, and some people be like, I don't know if I like being used. You like being used by God, I promise. It's a benefit to all, right? God wants to see our life flourish in such a way that it affects others for good. We have the ability to be change agents in a world that is more desperate than it knows. Are you hearing me? When I hear this verse, let your light shine before others in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, it's just such a nice scripture. It sounds so nice. It makes me think about growing up singing songs like this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. I can't dance, my knee. You'll have to come back for the tap dance later. But listen, as nice as it sounds, the reality is shining isn't easy. Shining isn't easy. You would think, oh no, it's just a byproduct of what I believe. No, you can believe many things that you never act on. You believe it would be great to have a good marriage, but you don't work on your marriage. You believe that it would be awesome to get a raise, but you don't work hard enough to get a raise. You believe a lot of things, but it doesn't mean you enact change to see that come to fruition. Are you hearing me? Someone's like, man, his shot's fired. I'm in pain, and I was up at 3:45. A little grace here. a little reality here. But listen, what I'll tell you is shining isn't necessarily an easy thing to do. It takes energy. You know when the Bible says, talks about us doing good deeds? Do you realize that's work? Do you realize that that's, what do you say, laborious? Limits, ROADS? Just say, I don't know. Anyway, listen, the point is this. It's not always easy to shine. It takes energy. How many understand that when you use energy, somebody just understood what I was saying. it's funny because I saw them understand what it, I'm a movie guy. It'll come to you someday. But listen, what I'm saying is, if you leave a flashlight on for a very long time, what will happen? Right, because it's energy being used. How many people have something in their house? Maybe, you know, maybe it's one of those things. I have it outside my house. I've got rechargeable batteries and my little lights on my fence makes it look so classy, you know, I'll tell you. But how many know that those rechargeable batteries are only as good as it getting some form of source to recharge them? So we can believe in Jesus but not be around the source and actually not have any power to actually shine anything. Are you hearing me? You can run ragged doing good works but never getting back in the presence of God and being recharged, and that's what people refer to as burnouts. It's not that they just burnt out, it's that they chose not to be recharged. I'll tell you, this little light of mine is not always easy to shine, but it's always right to do. It's always right to do. It's hard to shine, especially when you have to stand alone. How many understand that that's why the scripture said two are better than one? They can support each other. They can defend each other. And even three are better than two. The principle is that you shouldn't be running alone in your race for God. You shouldn't be doing church or Christianity alone. It's just not practical, or it's not in the principle of church. It's not in the principle of Christianity. We used a little video clip from last week about me using, you know, something that I've heard before and that I've said, and it simply says, look, someone would say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I said, it's kind of like you don't have to go home at night if you're married. And then I made the comment about, well, you do if you want to stay married, right? And I've gotten some real backlash at that, because a lot of people say church is optional and we have the right to believe what we want to believe. And I simply say, you're right, you have the right to believe what you want to believe, but I am called to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right? And so sometimes you'll leave a message and you'll feel like, man, that was a heavy message. But guess what? Someone else next to you that didn't deal with that problem doesn't feel like it was heavy. That's part of the conviction of the Holy Spirit going on in your worlds. Okay? And so what am I saying about all of this? I'm just simply saying that church is something that we need, but we don't need to just go to church. We need to be the church even when we leave the building. Because the church isn't the four walls. It doesn't mean we dismiss the four walls, because God seemed to use a lot of principles talking about building foundations and about building the house. Hello? So clearly God loves and respects the four walls, but he wants to make sure that you're doing what the church does outside the four walls. Or maybe what you should be doing inside the four walls with serving. Okay, stepping on toes. I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm moving away. I understand. I just move way slower these days, okay? But listen, it's hard to shine alone, and we weren't designed to do it alone. I want to take a quick look the best I can, and I'm going to give you the scriptures, but I'm going to also tell the story, because it's a lot of scripture. If you've been a part of this church or listened online or watched wherever you are, you know we're a very scripture-rich content kind of church, because I just like to let God's word say it for itself. Amen? Okay, so let me share a story about three brothers who felt exactly that struggle of what it feels like to stand what seemingly is alone. This is one of my most favorite stories in the Bible that we read, and it's about the fiery furnace. It's about the three Hebrew brothers. And so let's go to Daniel 3. Let me just, there's a lot of scripture, so I'm going to tell the story. King Nebuchadnezzar, he has built this massive idol, this massive statue. If you are a VeggieTales fan, you would think it's a bunny. You would think it's a bunny, the bunny, ooh, I love the bunny. Listen, you would think the statue's a bunny. It's not a bunny, but listen, it is a humongous idol that he's built, and he said that everyone, they're gathering from all provinces, everyone had to come right to the center of the city, and they had to bow down and worship this idol. Okay? This is a proclamation. This isn't a suggestion. right? This would be more like, we understand mandates these days, don't we? This would be more of a mandate than a suggestion, okay? And so everyone gathers, and as they prepare to do it, they brought out the whole band. They brought out the full orchestra. They had everybody. They had the lyre. They had the trumpets. They had the oboe. I just like saying that one, oboe. What do you play, the oboe? No, listen, they had everything out, and they were ready. The band was ready to kick off, and then they've got, you know, the town crier. That's what I like to call him, because he's like, "Heel here! Everybody now! When you hear the band play..." I don't know why he sounds like that, because... Yeah, that's right. It's because of VeggieTales stuck in my head. But here's the thing. As they cry, he goes, "When you hear the music play, you will bow down and worship," right? And so what happens? The band begins to play, and everyone bows down to worship except for a few. Except for a few. There were three Hebrew brothers we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, those were the names given to them when they were taken into captivity from King Nebuchadnezzar. And these three, they had this deep core understanding of not worshiping, putting any other god before the God of the universe. The only capital G, God. Right? And so they don't bow down, okay? And here's the thing. You would think like, oh, well, they chose not to bow down. The part I kind of left out that's like, dun, dun, dun. There's this huge fiery furnace that they had stoked. And they stoked this to basically say, if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. How many people think that was something that maybe made everybody think a little bit? You know, there'll be times, and as I read the end of the book, I'm telling you, it doesn't look awesome. It doesn't look fun when I get into the back of the book. I like the last part where we win for sure. But the other parts don't always look fun. And when I read the back of the book, it says that there's going to be times that we have to deal with potentially, well, if we're alive is what the potential is, right? Because it's going to come to fruition. We're going to have to decide whether we are going to deny what God called us to do, deny what we claimed we believed, to be able to have a sense of security and acceptance from a world that is far from God. We clap now. But the reality is it's coming. The reality is there already is different classes of citizenry depending on whether you do something already. We're already seeing the infrastructure for what's to come. Now, don't be like, well, my pastor said we in the end days. We've been in the end days since Jesus left. He said, hey, I'll be back, right? That's what he said. And so we're all like, okay, he's coming back. And some people think that we're going to have all these crazy signs to make it very clear when he comes back. The Bible says there'll be signs, but there's also a scripture that says, as in the days of Noah, they will be what? Marrying and partying and being wed, and then all of a sudden, he's going to turn up. So how can we have such crazy signs here and so many people not being aware of it there? Could it be where we live and the comfort we live in, where others do not have that? Maybe they're seeing signs that we're not seeing. They didn't see the sign. We have to be ready whenever that day comes. And so I'd rather get some pushback on Facebook, but tell you the truth. We need to be the church. We got to be prepared to be the church when things get harder and harder. Any church that's not already considering what it would be like to have to work without tax-exempt status isn't thinking. We've got to continue to understand just because we had it a certain way does not mean it's going to be the comfort we get forward. So when the rubber hits the road, what does your faith look like when it's tested? These brothers were just told if they don't bow down, they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. But there was something in them that made them realize, I'd rather take this fiery furnace than the one that's coming later. And so they don't bow down. And then, you know, the nobleman's like, oh, excuse me, sire. King. I don't know why he sounds British. Okay. He's like, didn't you say Didn't you say if they didn't bow down, they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace? And the king goes, yep, that's what I said. But there's a three. There's three that have not bowed down, and they are just saying, wah. They are not doing it, right? And so now he gets fired up. He gets fired up, and he tells them to stoke the fire even greater. This is all in Daniel 3. Read this thing. When you get home, you got a lot of time before the Patriots game. You read this thing. Okay? And so they stoked the fire even hotter. And then they said, we're going to do it again. Do you want to know why they were going to do it again? Because these weren't just any three. So if you read earlier in Daniel, you'll come to realize that Daniel and these three have already been pivotal in this king's life. These were not anonymous people. These were people the king has already promoted. Okay? He doesn't want to lose these people. So how many understand, like, he didn't want them to die in the fiery furnace, but he also doesn't want to look a fool. Right? Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat. That's the way it is sometimes. You just have to put your foot down regardless. Tupac? No? Okay. But listen to this. Is he even holy enough to preach? Listen, I'm saved by grace, people. Listen, listen, what I'm telling you is this. He didn't want to burn them, but what did he make clear? I said this, so we're going to do it again, all right? And so you can, da, 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 da. I don't know what they're playing, but all of a sudden the band starts back up and everyone bows back down except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny. Right? And so now he is not happy. And it goes on to say this. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then it goes on. Let me see here. I got to catch you up to where I am because I've just told you a lot of this. And you know I took like 8 times longer to tell it than just to read it to you? Yeah, I'm saving time. Okay. So here's what happens. He goes on, I'm going to take it in where we're at. Let's go to verse 15. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if not, you will be thrown immediately into the burning furnace. And that, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. They said, King Nebi, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, what? The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. Oh, but here's the point where rubber meets the road when it comes to your faith. Here's what you need to understand. It's good to beat your chest and say, I serve the God of the universe, and he can do all things. But what happens when he doesn't do the thing that you wanted? It goes on to say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebi was furious. Okay? And so they went ahead and they started it up. Let me go to this. I got to keep moving here because you're going to keep me late and I'm not going to finish this message. Okay? So what happens? We continue on. They don't bow down. They get thrown into the furnace. Now, at youth camp, I literally had some youth throw another youth into the crowd. I'm just going to leave that alone here. But it was a great example for them to remember. So we had a bunch of these strong youth come and take one of the youngins. You know, you always want to sacrifice the young ones, right? People are like, what am I watching right now? So, and I was trying to explain to them that as they threw them into the fiery furnace, it was so hot, they had stoked it so hot that the strong men that threw them in immediately fell down and died from the heats. Immediately. Okay? And so there's a reason I was throwing youth, okay? I needed them to get that visual. I didn't throw nobody. Look what it goes on to say. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar, wait for it, wait for it. Let's go back to verse 20. It says, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shad, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took the three. And these three men firmly tied and were thrown into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebi leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? Certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire. They're unbound and unarmed. And the fourth looks like the sons of God. Can I tell you, we sing a song saying, there's another in the fire. That's what the song is about. It's understanding that in your moment of need, you're not alone. God is with you. He stands with you if you stand for him. It's not about whether God will stand with you. It's about whether you'll stand in a blessable situation that he's called you to. You getting this, church? So King Nebi gets up and he calls him out. Hey, those who serve the Most High God. Clearly, he's figured that out by now. Come on out. Come out. And look what it says. It says, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. We're at 26 now. Yeah. Wait, no, we're not. Yeah, we're 26. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. You guys go and have a fire pit, and you smell like it for 4 days, and you didn't even get in the fire. There was no smell on them either. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. My question is, are you willing to defy and stand for the God that you know is alive and well? Someone's like, I don't know what I'm clapping. Am I clapping about defiance? No, we're clapping about how deep our roots go into what we claim we believe. We're just having to consider, how far would I go for my Jesus? How far would I go for my faith? What am I willing to do to keep shining on, so to speak? And I've got a lot of points and not a lot of time. So here we go. Number one, the devil will always use fear to dull your shine. He will always use fear to dull your shine. It says, whoever does not fall down in verse 6 in worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Look, if you believe there's a God that loves you, then you need to understand there's a devil that hates you, because the God that loves you, he hates. Okay? And he does not want God to be reunited with you. Every time he looks at you, he remembers what he had before he was cast down. Hello? Real talk, right? And so he hates God and all that God loves. And so no matter what your goal, no matter what your call, whatever purpose God has called you to, our adversary, the devil, will try and stop us using fear or its three cousins: insecurity, anxiety, and worry. He's just trying to shut you down. The devil will always look to use fear to dull your shine. Number two, to keep your shine on, you have to pay no attention to the pressure of the world. Why? Because it's guaranteed there will be pressure. We will experience pressure. It says in verse 12, it says that they paid no attention to the king. It says, these three who pay no attention to you, your majesty, they neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. In order for them to continue to shine on, they couldn't allow the pressure of the world to dictate their faith and the steps that they took. Do you understand that there's going to be a time that comes where you're going to have to be willing to stand firm in the place God told you to stand? Yes? Because that's what the word says. You might say, but do you hear the world's demands? Do you know what it's like to lose friends over faith? Do you know what standing for God will do to my reputation? Yes, yes, and yes. Been there, done that. Didn't want the t-shirt. First of all, our threats are not nearly as hard as the three Hebrew brothers. How did they hold fast to the truth and keep shining when everything got darker and more dire? Let me give you the key to keeping everything in perspective. You ready for this? Write this one down. Matthew 10, 27 through 31 says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim to the roofs." 28, underlined for a reason, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." We have to remind ourselves at the end of the day, I will trust the one who holds my soul. I will fear the one who fearfully and wonderfully made me. You getting this, church? Number three, be prepared. Your shine will make evil rage. Evil will come at you. Some people say, man, I feel like things have gotten tougher since I became a Christian. I'm like, yeah, for the short little blip that is our life, maybe. It's going to get easier on the other side, first of all. But I'll also tell you that once you accept Jesus and what he did for you, and you're now no longer seen in your sin, but now seen in the Son when it comes to God's perspective of you, all of a sudden there's a target on your back, and the devil, he's looking to knock you down. He's looking to try and strangle the growth that is coming from your life. So be prepared. Your shine will make evil rage. Verse 13, furious with rage, King Nebi summoned these three as he looked to use fear tactics to set them down, to move them off the mark that God had called them to. See, be prepared. The world will push back. It's going to happen. Settle it in your heart. The only one you will fear is the God who holds your soul and your eternity. I say it this way, new levels bring new devils. When you begin to grow, new levels will bring new devils. But that's okay because we serve the same God. So level up. We serve the same God, so don't be afraid of what tomorrow brings. Just make sure you stay in the hand, in God's hand. Number four, when you shine, the world will put you in the hot seat. The devil will always give you the opportunity to back down. That's what he's looking to do. The devil will look to call your bluff. He will put you out on that hot seat trying to grill you. Remember, you're not standing up for mere principle. You're standing up for the true God who won't leave you hanging. That's a big one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16. It says, if we are thrown in the blazing furnace in 17, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Don't be afraid of the hot seats. It's only going to be hotter for them later. Well, that didn't sound nice. No, we've got to reach the world. But the reality is there's some very scary thoughts. And I know, you say, you know, it's not always easy to preach hard messages, but as the times grow and wax colder and colder and darker and darker, I'd rather you continue to remind yourself to keep your eyes on the prize. Right? You understand that? The God we serve is able to deliver us. Don't be afraid of the hot seats. I got to keep moving. Here we go. Number five, be prepared. Things will get hotter before they get better. Oftentimes, things will get hotter before they get better. And most of the time, the minute we feel any discomfort, the minute we feel any resistance, we pray, God, rescue us. But oftentimes, it's the pressure, it's the heat, it's the stretching that grows us to the next level. The very thing that we're asking to avoid, oftentimes, God led us to grow through. And you now, I'm not saying God led you to sin. If you've got yourself in trouble, that's on you. But what I do know is the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days before he was tempted. Oh, wait, he has scripture for that? Yes. That's what we do here. So what I'm trying to say is before, believe me, I pray all the time, God, rescue me from this. And once I see that this is not going away, I realize, okay, what do I need to learn from this so I can get through it quickly? Yeah? So don't always fear the hot seat. Sometimes it's the very thing that refines you. Okay? Verse 19 was my reference for that one. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. So if you remain standing, you will eventually see evil's rage, but you'll also get to see it come to an end at some points, right? Number 6, remember when your shine has you feeling the heat, God's within the flames. That's my favorite part, the thought that God is there. When we go, God, help, help, God is already there with us. God doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is there with us. I liken it to be said, as many of you have heard this saying before, the teacher is always quiet during the test. See, you feel like God's not there, but he's right there. And he's going to help at the right moment. But there is testing and there is trial that comes with growth. If I didn't let my kid fall down a few times, they would never learn to walk. Are you getting this? This is reality. This is scripture. In verse 24 and 25, Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet and said, there's a fourth within the flames. I want to remind you, when you're in the heat, when you are dealing with all that the world is throwing at you, keep your shine on. Even if God's quiet, understand it's a test, but he's right there with you. Continue to live what you know. Amen to that. There's 2 people excited. We got to light it up, church. Number 7, when you choose to shine, you'll always be saved. When you choose to shine, because guess what? You attract those that are hurting, that need help. You know, we're just on the airfield this morning, airstrip, whatever we call it. There are all these people out there directing traffic. See, when you decide to shine, you begin to direct traffic for those that don't know where to go. They don't understand what maybe you have come to understand. They don't understand that grace is offered to them as well. They don't understand that the very God that created them, that knit them together in their mother's womb, loves them so much that he also made a on-ramp for them. Even though we've already been understanding that we've fallen short of the glory of God and that we've sinned, the fact is God loved us so much he created a way that we could come back into relationship with him, and that's Jesus. So I'm telling you, shine on, direct people in the path that they're called to go. You don't have to be loud and boisterous about it, but you do have to speak up. Some people say, all I have to do is live it. I say, no, God told us to speak it. I'm not saying that living it isn't powerful, but when you have the ability of word and deed to go together, hello. That's why we defeat our enemy with what? The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. The deed that Jesus did for us and the word that we give back to the world, the power that comes in the cross. Are you getting this, church? I've got to finish because you made me go too long. When you shine for Jesus, you'll never lose because heaven is on the way. We just wrote a new song that's going to be coming out soon, and it's called Heaven is on the Way. And every time you find yourself in that position, when we cry out to God, we know heaven is on the way. Even though we may not see it immediately, we know God is already in motion. He's already working on our behalf. He already has the way out, church. That's exciting to me. Verse 28, praise be to God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any God except their own God. Don't give up. Don't be defiant just for defiance sake, but draw lines, draw boundaries where you will not cross because God's word has said no. And be willing to stand when no one else is. You may just be the strength that gives someone else a backbone. You may just be the voice that allows someone who is voiceless to speak up. Let's continue to encourage each other. And the last point, number 8, when you get your shine on, evil is demoted while you are promoted. we see time and time again what the enemy meant for evil, God turns to good. And you may feel like there's so much going on around your life and you don't know where to turn. You may feel like evil is on your doorstep or has already let itself in. I'll tell you right now, God, he can shut that thing down, and all that's happened to you, he can turn it around for good. And you say, there's no way. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. It says in verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Not only was evil defeated, they were promoted because they stood their ground. Now, whether I get promotion on this side of heaven or on that side, I know by standing for what God calls importance, I will be promoted.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.